This episode is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. If you're the type of traveler who leaves everything to the last minute, then annual travel insurance was made for you. Buy your plan today, and you're covered for every trip you take in the next 365 days. Enjoy peace of mind knowing you're protected, whether you're heading out for a weekend getaway or an international vacation. Get the travel protection trusted by more than 70 million American travelers. Get a quote at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
My next guest never fit in with the term media the way it's defined today, by being a propagandist for the state. He writes, and always wrote, with the principles of not just Americanism, but common sense principles and values to correct the wrongs and save the country. I mean, everything that he wrote in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and many others, even Playboy, where I really dove into the articles, was all fantastic. But the author of 12 books, and to give you some of the titles of the books, it's important. Public Policy Hooligan, Attention Deficit Democracy, and the latest book, Last Rights, The Death of American Liberty. That's just to name a few. He's still writing articles. In fact, he's released three, one today, that I want to talk to him about. He's Jim Bovard. Jim, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Sean. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Well, thanks for kicking out the articles that are truly important. And what I like about it is you take on topics that need to be taken on and aren't anymore. It's only a select few of reporters that want to bring up things that you write about. And I'll tell you what I mean. I can't believe what the FBI has become. I really can't. The fact that they covered up the laptop, the fact that they worked in conjunction, that they had agents like Peter Strzok and Page and the text messages, and now I hear they just settled with him for $1 million. Settled with him. This guy should be sitting in Leavenworth. So why would I trust them when it comes to investigating anything?
Well, it's important to have faith in the system.
All right.
No, I mean, so I've been writing about the FBI for more than 30 years. Back in the mid-90s, I was writing about Ruby Ridge, and FBI Chief Louis Freeh publicly condemned my articles for slandering the FBI agents. It turned out that the FBI Ruby Ridge cover-up blew up, and the FBI has been involved in so much rascality since then. And this whole idea that we're supposed to defer to them and act like they're some great wise men who should be allowed to be the wizard behind the curtain, I missed that lesson in high school civics class.
Well, there's something that happens when you talk about government. I watched it all my life. And people think of government as if it has virtue rather than realizing it is only made up of individuals, most of which are just like everybody else, and very few actually have that virtue that all citizens, the important citizens, the ones that go and fight the wars, the ones that go to work and pay their taxes, the ones that actually make the system work, they just give it this virtue. And I think it's important that we stop doing that and realize it's been decades of scandal, skullduggery, and the fact that it's been infiltrated now by what appears to be an ideology right out of Chicago communists. This is the part that only explains why you could sit on the evidence of the laptop, why you could still promote the idea that this is somehow an anomaly versus a pattern. And there's the people who benefit the most from a threat to that system being thrown on its side are the government itself. Yet here they are investigating the very problem.
Yeah, and it keeps getting funnier and funnier because you had Joe Biden this week making a big announcement. He's pushing a constitutional amendment for no one is above the law. And I'm thinking, given his record, that's audacious.
That's rich.
Audacious.
That's rich. And you know, this is the funny thing about getting older and remembering all of the scandal that this particular fraud has been tied to. And it comes out in an investigation of congressmen. Congressmen have the investigation, and they reveal the fact he's tied to over 16 LLCs. His brother, the contract to build homes in Iraq. This would have been enough when you and I remember Playboy when the girls didn't have testicles. This would have taken down any politician. I don't care where he was, from a local mayor all the way up to the White House. And yet now it doesn't even dent him. This is the kind of the protection the Teflon Don John Gotti dreamt of.
Well, and part of what's amazing here is now you've got there was a Teflon chill that Biden was given by the media, and now he's transferred it intact to his vice president, the new candidate for the president, and it's just like her entire record is being expunged, and anyone who quotes what she said in 2019 is a is anti-democracy.
Well, that's the article you released today, and was that the New York Post you released it?
Yeah, it just came out about 15 minutes ago. I didn't know if it'd be up before your show, but it's there. It's got a punchy headline, and it's going to be catnip for cynics.
Well, what I love about this topic is that on paper, not only is she the easiest candidate to defeat because she has absolutely zero knowledge of the economy, of economics, of any kind of business obstacles people face in the real world, or working men, as she has only worked for government. But when you look at her work record itself, and you see the 29-year-old girl and the power broker in San Francisco, who himself riddled in scandal even to this day, as he is still tied to corruption from Oakland to San Francisco. How is it that this has become something that can't be talked about because she wants to somehow grab the grace of being an American, an African-American, when she is not? And in fact, she grew up in Canada. She went to school the most important years, the adolescent years, in Canada, into a high school that has the infiltration of Mao Zedong. It's one of the high schools that Pierre Trudeau loved. And it's amazing that the Americans don't know. She didn't even grow up here, did she?
I don't know exactly where she grew up. I mean, I haven't looked that much at her early history. But, I mean, she's put out so many smoke screens for her recent decades. And it's amazing to see how the media has helped her simply totally expunge a lot of her life history and politics.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I mean, I guess she really wants to carry Pennsylvania since she flip-flopped on fracking in the last day or two.
Oh, she's pro-fracking now? Is that what happened?
Yep. In the last couple of days, she suddenly saw the light.
Well, you know what's funny, Jim, is that they're all chameleons. Really, they're all chameleons who, depending on what money they need, what vote they need, they'll say anything. The question I have is this. The policies of Bidenomics, as far as I can tell, is a bankruptcy model that leads us to printing money to pay interest on debt and all the rest of it. Do you think that the inflation that it's caused and the Bidenomics failure, where you have more people on welfare than at any time in this country's history by percentage, 63% of your fellow Americans are now on welfare. Do you think they're sick of it? Or do you think that maybe they bite the lure of the poverty cycle? That's what my main concern is. I'm wondering how you view it.
I'm not confident on the level of comprehension of the average voter as far as the financial damage the federal government is inflicting. Folks pay attention to the gas prices. They pay some attention to food prices. But aside from that, there are waves of smoke screens. Part of my lack of optimism is also from knowing a fair number of journalists. And my impression is that in order to qualify as a Washington journalist, people have to fail Econ 101.
It's to the point where, I want to yell, have you no decency? Do you not understand that there are 63% of not only your fellow Americans that are on welfare, but there's even a larger percent of foreclosures, delinquencies? This is a no-brainer to me. But then I watch my once great city, and they cheer and they support this idea that you can have this compassionate version of American communism or Marxism or socialism or whatever it is. And then you look at the ramifications of ultimately how they have to admit it's a major problem. Gavin Newsom dragging all the homeless people into camps should be something people pay attention to. But yet it just becomes a snippet on radio, on talk radio. It doesn't ever hit the mainstream media. And isn't that something that you think some of the ones that pretend to be on our side would run away with? Are you happy with the fact that the views of reality are being represented in mainstream media?
Haven't been happy with that for going back any time in this century. It seems like it's gotten a lot worse in the last couple of years. It's getting worse in this election cycle. So it goes back to what historian Henry Adams said a century ago, that politics has always been the systematic organization of hatreds. And we're seeing an awful lot of that this season.
It's funny to see how, for some reason, there are still people rallying around what Bidenomics and what Biden foreign policy and what the Biden-Harris presidency has led to. Do you think that people are also aware of what's happened with illegals? And I don't mean people that are coming here from Mexico to work or to escape poverty in Venezuela. I'm talking about Islamo sympathizers, Islamo Nazi sympathizers, and people who were on the terror watch list. I mean, this, you're not talking one, two, a dozen. You're talking thousands. This is something that I think people need to be aware of. And I'm wondering, do you think that there's an understanding of how tenuous the situation is? Or do you think it'll take some kind of act of terrorism on these shores, as we see what happened in the UK overnight? Do you think people will wake up if there was a terrorist act, and that's the only thing that'll save them?
It would wake some people up. I mean, there are all kinds of warning signs, even without an overt terrorist act, but we have no idea who's coming in. And it's just sad to see the doors open so wide for anybody who makes a false claim to come in and stay here 5 or 6 or 8 years. There's such a lack of honesty in it. And to see what the Biden administration did, flying folks into airports late at night, these huge plane loads, and they were all given, what was it, a presidential pardon or something like that?
Yes.
It basically gave them the right to stay here. And it was like, okay, let's have 50,000 from this country, 50,000 from this country. I don't recall that the red carpet was rolled out for people from Ireland or from France, some of the countries where my people came from. Probably not for Britain either, but certain countries, it's like, okay, let's bring them all in.
One of the first things Joe Biden did on day one was to basically reverse everything that Donald Trump had done to secure the border. But there was a very important thing that happened. Kamala Harris was tasked with getting to the root cause. She was called on news organizations like CNN and MSNBC, the border czar. But that's, to me, irrelevant, that argument over if she the border czar or not. What she did do is take $1.5 billion taxpayer dollars, and she went to these totalitarian countries, whether it be El Salvador, Ecuador, Venezuela, and she made the trip, and she now has grown that to where the American people have given in excess of $6 billion to these countries. And yet no one can tell me what that money was for, because shortly after she went there, we had these massive caravans and this massive problem to where we estimate there's between 11 and 19 million. But the reality is we have no idea. To me, there is no doubt when you look at Mayorkas himself and you realize he was on the board of what they call an NGO, but once again, taxpayer subsidized. And that board had a mission statement in Mexico to educate illegal aliens on how to navigate everything from our welfare system to register their kids in school to get free health care. But the real one that makes me nervous is to register to vote locally. Is there any question that this is orchestrated to anybody other than somebody with an IQ over 60? This is clearly the plan, was the plan in day one. Do you think there will be some peeling off of American Democrats who still fantasize about the Reagan Democrat not realizing, the Kennedy Democrat not realizing that's Reagan? Do you think that there are still enough people to believe there is a Democrat Party rather than an American Fourth Reich that orchestrated this collapse of our society?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, it was 18 years ago I did a book called Attention Deficit Democracy, and it was talking about the ignorance of the voters and the ignorance of the members of Congress, the ignorance of government agencies. It wasn't just dumb voters. The entire system practically blindfolds itself, and we see what happens with that, with the shooting of Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, with the Secret Service folks that looked much worse than the Three Stooges. There are so many things going so bad at this point. I don't know how it's going to end, but it's not going to be a happy ending.
You know, it's funny to watch people quibble over what we all saw with our eyes. I saw Donald Trump narrowly escape an assassination attempt. He went down. The blood was there. The blood came up. Is it unbelievably amazing to think we've devolved so far to where there are now millions of people that say he didn't get shot. It was orchestrated. I mean, this is more than Orwellian. This is twisted to me. This is sick. This is something that you're clearly not going to reason on the nuances of Keynesianism versus capitalism with these kind of people. And are you shocked at the amount of people that with their can deny what their own eyes see?
No.
That's depressing.
But I have low expectations. I mean, this is the type of controversy I've seen so many folks swallow so much BS for so many years. I'm almost jaded.
So what is going to be the title of the new book?
Oh, Lord.
I wrote
maybe
for
that
Playboy
should be the title. Oh, Lord.
No. Well, how about I wrote for Playboy before girls had balls? You think that's too pithy?
That sounds good. It's a little bit long, you know, but I'll see what I can do.
You know, I had to get into Playboy. I love that about you. And I love the fact that you're still writing, even though you don't have to. I can't wait to meet you in person. Jim Bovard, thank you so much for making time for me.
Hey, thanks for your kind words. I really appreciate it.
Since 1979, TireRack.com has been helping people find the right tires for how, what, and where they drive. They sell only the best, like the full line of Falcon tires. Test results, consumer ratings, and product reviews are there to assist. Or try the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. Tires ship fast and free to you or to one of over 10,000 recommended installers. You'll get 2 years of free road hazard protection. Nails, screws, potholes, covered. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation. They bring tires to your home or office and install them on site. It's the most convenient way to change tires. When it's time for new tires, see why millions of satisfied customers trust the experts at TireRack.com. Go to TireRack.com/Falcon to shop the full line of Falcon tires. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.